call it magic, call it true.
Vous êtes sur Art District Radio et c'est l'heure de retrouver Luc Seabright dans Jazz Interview pour une rencontre en anglais avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
Broken into two. Still I call it magic when I'm next to you.
Hi there. This is Luke Seabright from Art District Radio, and I'm hosting our jazz interview program. Today I have on the phone with me Tiffany Monique. Tiffany is a jazz vocalist and educator based in Chicago. She has performed with some of jazz's greats such as Joe Lovano and Chris Potter, studied with the likes of Bobby McFerrin, and has released 4 albums to date. Her latest, Call It Magic, was released in March of this year. It's an ambitious, soulful, and audacious album, and I look forward to learning more about it with her today. Tiffany, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, and I just want to thank Art District Radio for all the support and airplay over this last month. I really appreciate it.
We're so happy to be supporting artists like you, Tiffany. So I'd love to start just by giving our listeners the chance to get to know you a bit better, and so I'd love to know more about your background, your path into music, and what led you to become a vocalist and pursue a career in music.
I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin and was very influenced and mentored by many of my school teachers. And at the age of 10, one of my instructors discovered that I had a voice and encouraged me to sing. And from there, throughout school, I ended up going to college, and my undergrad was a degree in music business. And all the while, throughout school, I was introduced to various genres of music and fell in love with Sarah Vaughan. So she was the first great jazz singer that heavily influenced me. And that was when I was probably 17. And then from there, I just indulged in the genre, listening and beginning to learn the repertoire, and in college performing with combos and such, and vocal jazz groups. I was also involved with vocal jazz groups, listening to the likes of The Real Group, Gene Perling Arrangements, Manhattan Transfer, and performing all of that music as well. And then moved into the city. So I moved to Chicago for school, for college, and then studied. And once I graduated, got involved with some funk bands. So I really wasn't on the jazz scene immediately, because I loved soul music as well. In my household, we grew up listening to, you know, the likes of Tina Turner and Roberta Flack and Lionel Richie and the Commodores and Stevie. So I didn't have a lot of jazz music growing up. It was more soul music. So I'm certainly grateful to my parents for showing me the way to that genre.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to hear you talk about the different musicians you used to listen to, because it's one thing that I find fascinating about your musical output is the sort of diverse range of artists and musical genres that you seem to use as to cover and use as inspiration. You know, you cover standards from the Great American Songbook, but you know, you also cover pop classics from the likes of Coldplay, Stevie that you mentioned. I saw you recently released a single covering Bob Dylan's wonderful folk song Boots of Spanish Leather. You've covered The Doors, so presumably this is like a reflection of that multifaceted exposure you had to music.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, I think at the time right now where you know, it's 2017, I mean, I've certainly been influenced by the Great American Songbook and in jazz, you know, academically learning about the repertoire and the history and respecting where jazz comes from. You know, but along the way and in my lifetime, I've been influenced by, you know, just as you said, rock and roll, you know, growing up in Wisconsin, very influenced by rock and roll. influenced by soul music. And then when I was in college, I was, as I mentioned, heavily involved in a funk band and the whole neo-soul movement.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really pride myself as being a versatile vocalist that has indulged in a variety of genres.
Fantastic. Well, indeed. I mean, the new album, Call It Magic, is, I believe, very much a tribute to that versatility, because you seem extremely comfortable going from a slow, soulful ballad to, you know, an explosive swing tune to a tight groove, a funky tune. For example, your cover of Just Friends, which I love.
Just Friends.
So, yeah, that versatility, that sort of shape-shifting, I imagine that's something you're particularly sensitive to.
I am, very much so. And, you know, I've had, I think the importance of that, or the ability of that, is that I've certainly worked over the years, you know, on my technique, and I've had experience singing classical as well, mm-hmm. And studying classical music and just really understanding the human voice. And, you know, as you had mentioned, I had the chance to work with Bobby McFerrin as well. And that's, you know, someone who has influenced me, who certainly has an incredible understanding of his instrument.
Yeah. Was this while you were at school in Chicago?
No, this was through a, yearly now, in New York. He does a workshop, that tends to be a week long, and luckily, I discovered it when he first began the program. Mm-hmm. So it has morphed into an extremely large production at this point. But I had the opportunity to work with him for about a week.
Fantastic. Well, so I briefly mentioned your new album. It's Call It Magic. It was released this year. And so, yeah, I'd love to know more about how this project first came to be, you know, how long it's been in the making, and sort of the background behind it, and what it's come to represent for you today.
You know, as you had mentioned, this is my fourth release, and prior to Call It Magic, I released a holiday CD called Yuletide Groove with a longtime collaborator, guitarist Neil Alger.
Neil Alger,
and that was back in
three albums before Call It
Magic. Yes, that is correct. That is correct. So we've had a long time collaboration. I'd say about 10 to 12 years that we worked together, released three CDs. And 2009 was our last release. And I decided, actually in 2009, when I released that CD, to go back to school and get my master's in vocal pedagogy. So it was a complete kind of flip for me as far as studying musical genres, because I was studying classical music solely in that program. And I didn't necessarily take a break. I was performing. I was still, you know, as an educator and living my professional life, but it was certainly difficult to do all of it. So I took a little bit of a break recording, mm-hmm. and studied. And then during that time, I started to get some ideas for the next CD. And about, I'd say, 2014, I started to think about, and I sat down at the piano and sat down with Lionel Bart's Where Is Love. A friend of mine requested that I perform that. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to sit down and rearrange it, make it a little bit more adult-like and mature, and then was inspired to write an original entitled Love Is. And so it just kind of poured out of me, and I was really excited about that concept of taking either a standard or my own song and doing some type of an original, doing some type of compositional pairing.
Yeah.
And so that's really how the album or the idea of the album came about. And so a couple of the next song was Miss Seeley's Blues, because I had been performing it. And, you know, many of the songs for me are extremely personal.
Yeah.
Some I discovered later, you know, as it, like Love Is, I discovered later what that really was about. It came to me later, but, you know, Miss Seeley's Blues is just a defining song about the relationships I have with my sister. And then I wrote the intro verse, Sister. So not every song on this album is a pairing, but many of them match, you know,
yeah.
Just Friends and Letting My Love Go. What is this thing called love and called love?
Yeah.
And in working, and then Jeff Levinson, who produced the album, I met him at a Grammy event out in Los Angeles. And there was just a great connection that we had. And I knew after meeting him and having dinner that he was going to produce my next album. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I absolutely knew that was going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't have this idea of set timing, but I certainly, you know, by 2014, I knew and began working on making sure I had all my repertoire, gathering who I wanted, instrumentation, ideas, and then began recording.
The musicians that you ended up recording with, were they people you had been working with for a while? Were you sort of familiar with their work already?
I was very familiar with all of their work.
Yeah.
Ben Lewis, my pianist and arranger, we had worked together for quite some time.
It comes across, actually, in the album. There's a true sort of complicity between the two of you.
Yeah, he really understands and he knows what I want. You know, I give him skeleton kind of harmonic progressions. He's a genius when it comes to harmony. And so I provide him with, you know, basically the shell, and he fills in all the goodies. And but he really has a deep understanding of the mood and the vibe and what I want out of a piece of music. And we have a, you know, everyone that I work with, I have a deep respect for their musicianship and talent. And so Dana Hall, Greg Artry, I had been working with the drummers only for a short time. Josh Ramos, the bass player, I've worked with for quite some time as well. And then some of the guest artists, Ken Poplowski, Joel Fromm, I had never worked with.
Ken Poplowski is
so,
on clarinet.
Yes, Ken Poplowski is on clarinet for Miss Seeley's Blues.
Yeah.
And then Joel Fromm is playing tenor saxophone.
Yeah.
Beautiful solo.
Yeah.
Inspired by Ben Webster. That was the sound that I wanted.
Yeah.
On This Bitter Earth.
Yeah.
And then the other exciting thing is, you know, for this particular album, it was the first time that I used a producer. So that was refreshing. You know, as an artist, we can sit and record and record and record. And which the great thing is, there were very few takes of these songs. You know, but we certainly can overthink things.
Yeah.
And certainly want perfection. So it was great to have Jeff by my side. And then it was also the first time that I had recorded and worked with string arrangements.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting for me as well.
Yeah, indeed. The sort of the orchestral arrangements in this album are quite ambitious. I mean, there's an extraordinary amount of work that went into the arrangements for strings, but also the arrangements of that Ben Lewis made on piano. Like it's truly a very ambitious
mm-hmm.
work of arrangement and orchestration.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I absolutely, you know, all of the tracks are my favorite, but
yeah.
You know, I really love Where Is Love and Love Is.
Yeah.
And I love magic. You know, I hope Chris from Coldplay gets the chance to hear that. I think he'd be really proud.
It's a wonderful cover. It's the opening piece on the album. We've talked about your first albums with Neil Alger, and we've talked about your latest album, which obviously I encourage everyone to check out. Is there any insight we could get maybe on future projects you're thinking of? I realize it's a bit premature, but are you already thinking about what comes next?
You know, I'm kind of basking in the glory of this project right now.
And you deserve it.
In November, I teamed up with Dot Time Records, the label, and when I had signed a contract, a week later they had called me and said, hey, listen, we're doing this Bob Dylan project. It's a compilation CD. Will you record a single for us? You have 2 weeks to do it. Go. And so I really was, Bob's work is, you know, incredible, and there's so much to choose from. But I discovered Boots of Spanish Leather, and I just felt like, you know, the storyline behind the song really worked with my album.
Yeah.
You know, and the story behind my album and all the songs, and it fit quite perfectly, almost like it was the coda. And so I recorded that for them. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm going to. It's coming out in vinyl, which I'm excited about.
Wow, very exciting.
And so that will be on vinyl soon. And that was just released. So, you know, I'm of course thinking about the next project, and certainly I'm not going to wait almost 10 years. You know, I'm going to start recording again within a year, but I certainly want to focus my attention on this album and touring and giving it the love and promotion that it deserves.
Of course. Tiffany, we're coming close to the end of the interview. I would like to ask first, like, if is there any project to come tour in Europe anytime soon?
We're working on it. I actually spoke with Joe from Dot Time yesterday, and he said before the end of the year, you know, I'll be playing in Paris and London. So they're working on a tour right now, so I hope I get to meet you in person.
Fantastic. I hope so too. I would love it if you came to London. I would absolutely come see you perform. Unfortunately, that's about all we have time for today. But Tiffany, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure talking.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And again, I just want to thank Art District, DDA, and you, Luke, for the time and all the support with the new album, Call It Magic. Thank you so much.
Once again, that was Tiffany Monique. Her latest album is called Call It Magic, and is available for purchase on iTunes. I highly recommend it. For information about upcoming shows, her voice workshops, and to hear samples of her album, you can go to her website, tiffanymonique.com. I'm Luke Seabright, and that was my jazz interview program for Art District Radio. Thank you.
Broken into two, still I call it magic when I'm next to you. And I don't. I know I don't, it's true. I don't want anybody else but you. I don't know.
I don't, it's true. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't want anybody else but you. And with all your magic, I disappear from you, and I can't get over, I can't get over you. Still I call it magic, such a precious jewel. I know I don't, it's true. I don't know. Want anybody else but you. I don't know, I don't know. I don't, it's true. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't want anybody else but you. Wanna fall, I wanna fall so far.
C'était Jazz Interview avec Luc Seabright. Vous pouvez écouter cette émission les mardis et jeudis à 8h et 14h et retrouver tous nos podcasts sur notre site internet artdistrict-radio.com. Très belle journée à notre écoute.
And I just got broken into two. Still I call it magic when I'm next to you.